You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
What a journey we are still on. I wish we could say it was all over with, but we can't. But to be able to see all that's happened, to think about in this time that we've not been able to meet together in face-to-face, that you've been connecting online, right now folks are connected online, that we've been able to celebrate our 200th adoption, that we've been able to be a part of, that we were able to give help to be able to help $2.5 million worth of medical debt being relieved for veterans. That was incredible. Let's cheer. Let's go. That's awesome. Online, you cheer as well, all campuses. Just to see us filling the trucks, doing all these things, it's amazing, this journey we've been on. So Siena, Cypress, downtown, Loop, online, all of us, we're continuing this journey. It's been a really difficult one and a really challenging one, but God's doing things. We can trust the Lord is still moving. Today at church, a lady walked up to me and she said, "Pastor, this is the longest time in my life that I have not been in church in my entire life. The longest time." So, I mean, there's some bad stuff. There's some good stuff with this. So the longest time she's never been in church her entire life. And I said, "You know what? As a pastor, this is the longest time I've gone without a complaint about the volume of music." So, you know, there's been some good things and some bad things that have happened in this. It's okay. But we've meandered through this and we're continuing to. And do you know what today is? Today is not only when we add back on campus, we're continuing online. Today is the day of Pentecost. That's what today is. And on the kingdom calendar, we really believe, and I'll tell you what that means in a bit, of Pentecost, we believe that God is up to something. That the Holy Spirit is up to something, that God's got something on his kingdom calendar for us even on this very day. What if 3,000 people came to Christ today? That would be incredible. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to be if you got your Bible. And we're going to look at this day of Pentecost. This day in Acts chapter 2 is when the church in the New Testament was born. This is the birth of the church in the New Testament. And we've chosen this passage to go through this weekend for this reason. This is, in a sense, the rebirth of the church. The rebirth, that God is at work, that he's doing new things. There's going to be some things that are different about church from here on out. We don't know what all they'll be, but we know that life is switching and life is changing. But on this day, when we add back on campus, along with online, we want to just talk about this rebirth of the church, what it means to hear from God in your heart. I'm so excited to be able to have people to talk to in the house, which is awesome and great. But I know you're watching online, many of you as well, and that's totally cool as well. But to be able to be in Cypress and Siena, downtown, and the Loop, and to have folks together is a blessing. I want to show you in the first four verses, and then we'll jump to some more. Let's look at the first four verses of Acts chapter 2 about this drawing the church together, the birth of the church, and the rebirth of the church today. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. Then they saw tongues of flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Here's what I want you to hear about Pentecost. There's a timing of what is happening. Let me put it together for you. It's a Jewish festival, a Jewish feast. There was one called Passover. And it was when, you remember in Exodus, that they in the plagues, they took a lamb and they slain a lamb and they put the blood over the doorpost of the house. And the death angel passed over because the blood was on the doorpost of the house. Do you know that on Passover was when Jesus Christ was crucified? In that time of Passover was the crucifixion of Christ and Easter Sunday. Why? To symbolize that Jesus is the spotless and perfect Lamb of God. That he was slain for our sins, and that the blood of Christ could be painted over the doorpost of our hearts, not our house, so that eternal death could pass over us and eternal life could be ours in Jesus Christ. So Jesus died, passed over that time, died, was crucified, buried, rose again. That was Passover, and God saying, on Passover, wham, the Son of God is going to be slain for your sins. His blood's going to be powerful. Then if you go 50 days later, you end up what's called Pentecost. You've heard of the Pentagon, five sides. Pentecost means 50. It's 50 days after Passover. And it was a harvest time because now there's going to be a harvest of souls, first fruits. There's going to be souls that are going to come to Christ. And people are going to gather in Jerusalem again. And that's when the gospel is going to go out. Here's what I want you to hear. It is not by accident that the church is born on Pentecost. It is not by accident the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost. It is by God's divine calendar. And here's what we've got to hear. You ready? Trust in God's timing and plan. Trust in God's timing and plan. For some reason, God has chosen us to live in the midst of this pandemic. You'll tell your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your whatever it is. Oh, yeah, I remember 2020. Pastor Greg preached these sermons on chapter 20, verse 20. We were so excited about 2020. It was going to be the greatest thing in the world. And fast forward, let's get to 2021, right? Been the worst year. It's been a really difficult year. And so here we are, and we'll tell this story for whatever reason. God has chosen for you and me to live in the midst of this pandemic. In the last 3 months, the chaos that's happened. But even in the last 3 days, the chaos that's happened in our nation. And so for us to be living in this time as well, to shine with the light of Christ, even in this passage chosen way before all the racial riots that we're seeing and all of those things that are taking place, it was chosen before that. For here now, all of these people coming together, I'll show you that in just a second, to be one in Christ. Did you see the first verse of that chapter 2? It said, and when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, all together of one heart. You know, we'll never all look alike. We'll never all be the same height. We'll never all have the same experiences. We'll never all have the same this, that, and the others. But we can be one in heart in Jesus Christ. That's possible, to be one in heart in Jesus Christ. And God has chosen in this moment, in this time, for you to be here in this moment. I want us to say this together. We're going to say it out loud. For those of y'all in the house with masks, it's going to sound like this. Okay? And for the rest at home, you can just belt it out. So here we go. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Trust God's timing and plan. One more time. Trust God's timing and plan. God has you here for this moment. We are here, and God's power comes in His timing. Don't you know they would have wished it had been on day 40, but it was on day 50? Aren't there things you wish would have ended on day 30 that you got to persevere to day 50? There's things that end on day 50. You wish they could have gone to day 70 because they were good stuff. We've got to trust the timing and the plan of God, because here's what happens. It says a sound of a rushing wind. What does wind symbolize? Wind symbolizes power that's unseen. Power that's unseen. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects. All throughout the scriptures, we'll see that wind and spirit are used interchangeably. So the Holy Spirit's coming, the wind of the Spirit. What did He say to Nicodemus? So it is, the wind blows where it wishes. So it is with the Spirit of God. No one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it's going. And so the wind, what does fire symbolize in the Bible? They had tongues of fire they saw over their heads. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes purity. It symbolizes God's presence. The burning bush was on fire because of the presence of God. Moses then leading the people out by a pillar of fire by night, leading the people out. Hebrews chapter 12, for our God is a consuming fire. So we've got the power of the Spirit of God. We've got the presence of God happening right then on Pentecost as a church is born and as a church is reborn. When we trust in God's timing and God's plan to be the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the white hot burning of the presence of God to purify us so that we can live out this thing called Christianity. God has chosen the timing of this day, in this moment, at this spot, for the rebirth of the church. Not just because we're gathering on campus again. That's not what I'm trying to say. But because God is rallying His people. God wants His people together. And the church together, either online or on campus, all throughout the nation, is greatly needed at this time. For us to rally together and say the blood of Christ is what brings unity, not the color of skin. And so we come in Jesus' name to be one and to be together on the kingdom calendar after Passover to Pentecost in the power of the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's about. And today is, in a sense, the rebirth of our church. Other churches will meet on different schedules, but our church in this way. I want you to see in chapter 2, verse 5 through 13. Chapter 2, through verse 5 through 13. We've seen the timing of the Lord from Passover to Pentecost. We've seen the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's going to indwell. And we're going to see a little bit more. So let's look at chapter 2, verse 5. And we're going to see the language in which God is going to speak. His miraculous acts. I want you to be aware. They're going to be perplexed. They're going to be confused. They're going to be amazed. But they're going to proclaim the mighty acts of God. Here we go, verse 5. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. Isn't that great? Every nation under heaven. So here they come. And when the sound occurred, a crowd came together. And was confused. We don't always know what God's doing. And was confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't these all who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Phrygia, in Pamphylia, in Egypt, and all the parts of Libya near Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring," watch what are they declaring? "The magnificent acts of God in our own tongues." It's the Greek word for dialectos. That's the Greek word, meaning languages in their own dialect. They were astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Now, some sneered and said, "They are drunk on new wine." Now, there's been plenty of debates throughout the years on tongues and this, that, and the other. We're not getting into all that business. Here's what I'm trying to get for you here. Is that God has a word that he wants to speak to the language of your heart. And these people are beginning to hear their own language. Have you ever been on a foreign land and all of a sudden somebody begins to speak English to you and you're like, oh, the language of the heart. Or some of you that maybe your first language is Spanish. And if we break into a song in Espanol, you go, oh, that's my heart language. There's something that happens in your heart when you hear your native tongue. And so here they're hearing the language, the magnificent acts of God are being spoken. And it says all nations have gathered. This gives us, just the list I read, 15 different geographic regions. And they all come together and they hear the language of the heart. Here's what I want you to get out of this. Speak the language of the heart to yourself and to others. Something that gets down to you in the heart. I remember when I took my wife, she was not my wife at the time, to South Louisiana to meet my grandparents. And so we rolled into South Louisiana and we were there. And so my wife, and we weren't married then at that point, Kelly, my girlfriend at the time, we brought her and she got to meet everybody there, which is great. And so she was in Cajun country, which is awesome. And then my cousin's boyfriend came and he showed up and he walked in and he was from the bayou, okay? There's difference from being from Louisiana and being from the bayou, okay? I mean, that with all due respect to the bayou. So he came in and he started talking and we all started talking like he was talking. We all just kind of followed his thing and I could watch Kelly from the hill country of Texas going, "What is going on?" And I mean, he was full on, "Oh, shit, come on, Boudin, baby, I am just going." And we were watching this thing happen and I was watching her and then afterwards she pulled me and she said, "Was that French? How did you know that? Did you speak French? Do you speak?" I was like, "That's Cajun is what that is." Okay, that was English that you cannot understand. We all understood it, and it actually warmed our hearts. You know, it felt good to hear it. It was the native language of my grandparents is what it was. It was a song of the heart. They're hearing this in their dialectos, their dialect, to say this. Watch this. Watch this good Bible. You ready? They were all coming to Jerusalem for meeting at the temple. And God was declaring with the birth of the church, it's not about coming to Jerusalem, it's about going to the world. It's about the gospel being able to go out. It's not coming to a certain place, to a certain room, to a certain spot. It's about going to the world. It was the reversal of the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, what happened? Man thought he could be God, began to build a tower to God. God said, we're going to confuse your languages. And God says, now you come to worship me, and I'm going to let you hear it in all your languages. And then I'm going to send you out to the world to speak your native language. Tongue to declare that to be the truth of what? What did they preach about? The magnificent acts of God. And you know what the most magnificent act of God is? That Jesus Christ came and died on Passover to be the blood over the doorpost of your heart. And you can have a relationship with Christ. And you can trust him as Savior. And watch what happens. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives inside of you so that every place you go on your lips is the magnificent act of God in your personal life, that the blood of Christ has forgiven you, that the Holy Spirit now resides in you. So Lord, fill us up every day as we walk out and declare it to the heart language of whoever will listen and whoever we can declare it. That's the birth of the church. This is a Jewish time of called Shavuot. Our Jewish friends are celebrating it right now, a celebration of the Jewish law. And in the midst of celebrating the Old Testament law, we get New Testament grace. And Jesus is symbolized by the law and grace coming together in a perfect life and living out a life of love, magnificent acts of God. And so online, hear that. On campus, hear that. Siena, Cypress, downtown, the Loop. Be able to hear that in your hearts, to hear your heart language. Now, let me turn the message just a minute. I want to turn it from here of what we're saying. I just want to turn it a little bit, and I want to ask you this. What language does your heart, what does your heart need to hear right now? What does your heart need to hear right now? You don't need to hear it in this dialect that these different groups. What does your heart need to hear? What do you need to hear? What needs to happen in your heart? I want to give you just four things real quick. We're going to move through them fast. Four guesses of what I think your heart might need to hear. You know, we've been through trauma. This has been a traumatic time. Some of us have lost money. Some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have lost some peace, all of us in that. Some of us, quarantine's been awesome to be all home together. Some of us, quarantine's been absolutely the loneliest time of your life. And maybe even a difficult time in your life. You know, everybody getting together as family, sometimes that can be good, sometimes that can be challenging. And for us to be able to see God speak to the language of our hearts, let me just give you a couple things. Number one, and there could be 44, I'm just going to give you four for sake of time. Number one, do you need to hear that fear needs to become faith? You just need to hear the language of your heart that fear needs to become faith. Now, I'm not negating any governmental guidelines. We're trying to do every one of those things to the T at every campus today. We're not negating that at all. We stand in partnership with the government, and we respect them. And Romans chapter 13 says that we're under authority of the government. We get all that. We get that, and we're for that. But if we go in fear, here's what can happen. Our hearts can get really zinged up. Kelly and I were with another couple recently and really wise, enjoyable conversation. And the wife said, you know what I'm worried about is that if we get so fearful, we're going to turn to the government solely to bring our fears down. So the only way our fear is going to get down, and again, I led with saying we respect government guidelines. Do not hear the opposite in what I'm saying here. But if we look to the only thing that's going to bring our fear down is the next study and the next guideline and the next this and the next reopening and all that, we've missed it. Jesus has got to bring our fear down. Because if you turn to the book of Revelation and you get here, what's going to happen is people are going to move from faith in God to faith in the government solely. And we're going to end up with some major, major problems in that moment. And so we've got to be able to be respectful. I've been saying that. I've said it four times now. To be respectful, but to be able to be in that moment to say, my fear can't be in my soul met by what the guidelines are. I need Christ to do something in me. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, O my soul, are you downcast? Why, O my soul, are you fearful? Yet I will praise God and I will again put my hope in Him to be able to say, God, I have to move to faith in you. God has your days numbered. Should you be wise? Yes, you should be wise. But God has your life in His hands, and move from fear to faith. Is that what your heart needs to hear today? It's going to be okay. God's got you. Number two, you just need to hear a word for your weariness and stress. You just need to hear a word for your weariness and stress. This has been hard. Parents, you feel like summer vacation already happened. It just started. We had 3 months at home, and then now it's another 3 months at home. So it's 6 months of trying to figure out what to do to keep them active all the time, right? Which is a blessing. Kids, you're a blessing. I want you to hear that. But it could be a challenge to figure that out, this whole thing. Weariness and stress. Will you lose your job? Will you not lose your job? Will your pay be cut? Will your 401k come back? Will oil do this? Will energy do that? Will your business keep going? What will take place? We have to lay people off. Weariness and stress. It has been a stressful time. Sure, there's been some moments of kind of vacation feel, but it's been weariness and stress. And I just want to give you good news. Can I just encourage you? I just want to encourage you. Tomorrow begins hurricane season. Isn't that great? I mean, that's all we need, right? I don't know where we're going to go with our weariness and stress if we're not going to take it to the Lord. Because I got bad news. It could get worse. It could get worse. And that's the truth of life, isn't it? It could get worse. It could get better. It could get worse. Take it to the Lord. Number three, higher thoughts than the world. Do you just need to hear a word today? Colossians 3, verse 1. Set your mind on things that are higher, where Christ is seated, so that we could set our minds on the higher things. There's so many things on planet Earth to look at. There's so many things to see. There's so many stresses. I was driving down the road, and one of the big signs, kind of amber alert sign, it said, don't travel downtown. Something like that. I'd never seen that. I'm a native Houston. I've never seen that sign. But I knew why. Putting our eyes higher and saying, God, you've got to work this out. You've got to do this. We need you. We need your heart in these situations right now. We're going to pray about that just tremendously tomorrow night, our Monday night prayer. But to be able to lift up and say, God, we need you, and to be able to look it up. I watched the news last night. Got home, I was with the Siena campus last night, which is so amazing and so great. And I got home and I DVR'd the news, and so I just kind of scrolled through it to see, and got to this last story, and it was about the rocket being launched that went up yesterday. And so that's cool, I like space, and so I watched that part. And the reporter said something, and I thought, oh, reporter, you don't know what you're saying. You just said something so wise. It was kind of a good news segment, and the rocket went up, and the reporter said this: for the first time in a long time, America looked up. For the first time in a long time, America looked up. What is the Lord's prayer? On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Hallowed be thy name. I want to put my eyes on you, God. And I wonder if you just need to hear a word today in your native heart. Take a look up. Look at the heavens that declare His glory. Don't look at all the stuff here. Yeah, we got to mess with all that stuff. But let's take a look up. And I wonder if we could just have, for the first time in a long time, the church, the country could look up and say, God, we need you. It's crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis. And we're calling out on a heavenly God. We need you. Number four, God is with you through the Holy Spirit. What's this whole thing about here in Acts chapter 2? It's about the Holy Spirit of God, not just coming upon somebody, indwelling somebody that's a believer in Christ. That God wants to reside in you so that He can work through you. That is incredible. The magnificent works of God, Jesus slain on Passover, the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost of your hearts so you could place your faith in Him by looking up to the cross. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside of you so you don't have to come to the temple. You actually are the temple of God. And you're going from the temple to be the temple to all the places that you go that I'll never go, to all the places you'll be that I'll never be, to let God work His way through you. So watch, I'm going to bring it together. Here we go. So you could speak to yourself. God could speak to you, I should say, in the native tongue you need right now. So watch. so then you could speak to somebody else in exactly what they need to hear. God will take your misery and make it your ministry. And when you sit down with somebody, and some of you guys and gals that have been in business longer than other folks, and you say, oh yeah, I remember the last oil bust, you're going to make it. It's okay. Remember the last downturn of the economy? Remember the last this, that, or the other? I've found in my ministry, just my personal ministry in life, when I'm able to say, you know, I've been through something a little bit like that before. I'm sorry you're going through that. And I understand. And let me tell you how I trusted in Jesus through that. Their ears get wide open. Acts chapter 22, first couple verses, it says that Paul began to speak in Aramaic. And here's what it says in the second verse. When they heard him speak in to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. When you begin to speak in your heart language, your hurt, and you speak it to somebody else, they go, really? You've been through this before? What'd you do? Okay. Thank you. Speak the wonders of God in heart language. Speak the wonders of God in a heart language. They heard it in their native tongue. And I want you to hear, God is with you through the Holy Spirit. And God brings all these people together. I mean, this is multiculturalism at its finest. And he brings them together under the magnificent acts of God and under the blood of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit, indwelling every skin color, indwelling every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all the nations coming together. And Jesus says, I love you and I care for you and I want you to be one together in this moment so that you can speak the wondrous acts of God. What does your heart language need to hear? Because God in his perfect timing and his perfect plans got you for this moment. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Let's keep trusting him. And he will do things that we wish he'd have done it on day 40, but we might have to wait till day 50. And we wanted it to go to day 60, but for some reason he changed it on day 50. And we'll trust him with it and say, God, you're sovereign, I'm not. I want to close with this. Two actually little things, if you'll give me the moment. I've totally blown my goal out of having a shorter sermon. So just, but I'm excited. I mean, what do you got to do, right? So it's not going to go too much longer, hour or two. But I want to show you from a piece of history how people spoke in the language of the day, okay? In history, I've been doing one of the things I've kind of been doing on this COVID is I've been learning about presidential history. That's been a little thing I've just tried to keep my mind going. So I've been studying some presidential history, read a book on Abraham Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth, which was really interesting, and then watched some different things that were going on, some other teaching. But here we have this. Let me tell you about the communication of the day. Presidents using the communication of the day. I'm trying to get you to use the communication of your heart. Lincoln's speeches were made into pamphlets and then circulated. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had fireside chats during the Great Depression to talk about the New Deal. And everybody would listen to their radios all over America because radio was the big thing at that time. Teddy Roosevelt, he would speak in newspaper headline kind of type of quotes. Have you ever heard this phrase from him? Walk softly, but carry a big stick. He would speak in newspaper headlines. He'd say this, don't hit until you have to, then hit hard. He would speak in newspaper headlines. Then you get to Truman, and Harry Truman gave 352 speeches on a whistle-stop tour in the election of 1948. Why? Because the trains were going across America. He'd stop in a town. They'd be on the back of the train. He'd give his message. People would come out from the town, and then they'd go on. He did that 352 times in the election of 1948. JFK harnessed television like no other president had ever done before. He was handsome. He was well-spoken. You could see him on that black and white screen. His videos still today are still like moving. That's not what your country will do for you, but what you could do for your country. We don't do these things because they're easy. We do them because they're hard. We're going to go to the moon in this decade and to be able to, you know, do all that. His dialect of all that was up there in the Boston area. We've seen Trump, whether you like it or not, utilizing Twitter to be able to have that in the communication of the day. And God's put you and me as the communicators of the day of the magnificent acts of God through his timing and his plan. That makes a huge difference. His timing and his plan is amazing. Last illustration I want to give you, last thing that I want to give you. As we think about this timing of God's plan, the unity that it brings together, the way God can do things through us, on your behalf, I get the honor of doing things at times. And I do it on behalf of the church. I don't do it on behalf of me. I do it on behalf of the church. One of my heroes through my journey of faith has been a guy named Ravi Zacharias. I don't know if you know Ravi or not of him. They said that Billy Graham was the great evangelist of our time, and Ravi Zacharias was the great apologist of our time. And so apologist meaning that he would defend the faith all over the world. He would travel 200 plus days a year to defend the faith and just declare with a very, if you hadn't listened to his podcast, start now. They're amazing, incredible. I've listened to so many. Well, I'd gotten to meet Ravi in a couple different occasions, and he came to Houston for cancer treatment. And so I reached out to Ravi's assistant and some other folks, and I said, you know, this is who I am. And I said, I would love the honor of being Ravi's pastor while he's in Houston. While he's here for medical treatment for cancer in Houston. And so Ravi and I began to talk on the phone pretty frequently. We would text back and forth. I'd know when a treatment was coming. I'd be praying at that time, at that moment of that day, and just lifting him up to the Lord and fasting on his behalf. And then I'd talk to him on the phone, and we'd pray together. And I don't want to overdo it. It wasn't like I was, you know, the only person in his life. I just got this moment on our behalf of our church to say, I want you to have a church home in Houston, Texas. I want you to have a pastor in Houston, Texas, and I'll be right there. And I was headed over there to visit him, and the COVID thing shut that down. I wasn't able to do that, but we would talk on the phone. I remember one time he told me on the phone, he said, Greg, thank you for your ministry. And I got off the phone and I told Kelly, I said, it's almost like I just feel like I heard good, well done, my good and faithful servant. I mean, I feel like I could die and go to heaven to hear that thick accent that he had just say that personally to me. It was such a blessing to me. And so Kelly and I were invited to go to the funeral in Atlanta on Friday, and we flew to Atlanta on Thursday night and then flew back Friday and had a real quick trip there. And so we got there to Atlanta, and we were there for the funeral, and it was incredible. Vice President Pence spoke and just brought a word. I mean, just talked about the Lord. It was amazing to see that. Tim Tebow, other folks of that kind of, you know, known stuff. Louis Giglio was a great friend of mine for a lot of years. He gave the message, and it was so powerful. So powerful. I was so inspired. I brought in a pen, and I brought in a note card because I knew I was going to just take notes the entire memorial service. And Louis closed with this one thing that I thought was the best, just a great showing of God's timing. He talked about doubting Thomas. You know, doubting Thomas, he gets a lot of grief, right? It ought to be good questions, Thomas, but we call him doubting Thomas. And good questions, Thomas asked these questions. And then he was actually martyred for his faith in a town in India called Chennai. He was martyred in 72 AD. Thomas was killed for his faith. And 1,874 years later, there was a little boy born named Ravi Zacharias in the same town. Doubting Thomas, martyred in Chennai, India. 1,874 years later, God knows the day of our birth and the day of our death, a man named Ravi Zacharias, who is going to become the greatest apologist of our time to answer questions all over the world. He is going to be born in the same place where doubting Thomas, good questions, Thomas died. He's going to be raised up from this little town to answer the questions of the gospel throughout. You never know what God's up to. You never know. So let's stay faithful. Let's stay faithful and walk through these difficult times together. Even if a hurricane comes, we're going to walk with God. And we're going to trust Him that He's at work. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord. We trust You on this reunion weekend. We thank You, Father, for Pentecost. For the Holy Spirit of God, for Your work and the way You do things, Father. We thank You for it. We don't understand it. We don't always like Your plan. We don't always like Your timing, but we trust in it. So online and on campus, Cypress, Siena, downtown Loop, we come and we just say to You, Lord, there's a body of believers that says we trust You. We trust You. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just want to give you this moment right now to pray and say, Lord, I need Your blood to forgive my sins. I need you to wash me clean. I need you to do your work in my salvation. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a believer in Christ, what language do you need to hear your heart spoken with? What do you need to hear from God? Let Him speak it to you so you can speak it to someone else. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.